Right, Tanya Betts, good morning. How are you going?
It's a beautiful day out there on the island, so nothing to complain about.
That's right. Let me just make sure I've got you on the right microphone. There's about, just for the listener, there's about 10 microphones in here, and it's hard to know which one's which, and there's probably a label on them, but the consummate pro that I am, haven't checked.
It's good to have choice.
Yes, it is good to have choice. So you're in here to talk about a couple of things. The Auckland Cycleway Plan, or Pathway Plan, was it?
It's the Waiheke Pathways Plan.
Yeah, and also the Santa Parade that's coming up. Is it next week?
It is, Saturday the 15th.
We'll talk about the Pathways Plan first, if you don't mind.
Yep.
So tell us about it from your side.
Okay, so I'm kind of here talking in my capacity as a member of Cycle Action Waiheke, which is the long-standing cycle advocacy group here on the island. The actual Pathways Plan was commissioned by our local board, and one of the core people involved in its development is Gary Wilton. Many people will be familiar with Gary and his connection with Parks and Reserves.
He's a runner.
That's right. Yeah. He's also a runner. Yes, yeah. That's right. What are they called? The Harriers.
Yes.
The fast runner.
Yeah.
And a very keen cyclist as well.
Yeah.
So he and Jan Vamp, I think I'm saying Jan's last name right, have been contracted to develop. It's been a good year plus in the making, and it's probably not the first plan like this we've had on Waiheke, but actually what it's done a great job at drawing previous work together and ideas into a comprehensive plan. And this plan is actually up for public consultation at the moment. In fact, Gary is down at the Ostend markets today in conversation,
yeah,
hearing what your thoughts are about what's being created. But that planning process, not particularly good timing for it, I should say, feedback process to the plans, is shuts on the 14th of December.
Right.
We all know this is a crazy time of year to get people to even string a sentence together. So, yeah, that's a little frustrating that that's ended up kind of, as things often do, narrow-necking around Christmas. But there is an online option to have a look at this material as well. And if you're wanting more information or even a copy, the best place to go to would be our local board offices in Belgium Street.
Right.
But so as kind of one of the community stakeholders having an interest in walking and cycling infrastructure, Cycle Action Waiheke have had a look at this plan, and we've given our feedback. And we have to say we're really glad to have a comprehensive plan.
Just for the people like myself who are maybe not as filled in on this, what it sounds like is a plan to create cycle paths for kids to get to school, for people to cycle and walk through the bush. You know, let's say I wanted to walk from Rocky Bay out to Tiefauer Point. Maintenance of that is it new paths, or what's the upshot of it?
Well, it's an overall picture of what we would like to have here on the island, and as everyone appreciates, the dynamics of transport on the island have changed rapidly over the last few years as our population increases. More children, more schools, more cars, more people, more tourists, pretty much more of everything,
yes,
really. It's kind of a bit of a more. So this is a plan that talks to the various needs of a number of different groups in the community. As Cycle Action Waiheke, one of our main priorities is safe walking and cycling for our children to school. We all remember, I certainly do, my generation, what it was like, because that's what we did. We walked and cycled to school, and people didn't have the level of anxiety that they do currently about children getting themselves to school. So that's part of the plan's priority, but Waiheke is also being advocated as a cycling destination. So
is that right?
That's right. Fuller's fully kind of...
We want to fix up the roads.
Well, this is it. And that's part of our concern as a cycle advocacy group. Sure, we think cycling is a great way to come and see Waiheke, because you get to explore in your own time. You get a really authentic immediate experience. You're not kind of, you know, locked away inside the vehicle. It's a great way on a nice day to see the island. A few hills, but, you know, you'll be better for it. And what's more, you can justify having a dessert or that extra latte or glass of wine or whatever you were going to be doing.
Extra shower.
That extra shower, that's right. That big swim, because after going up the hill, you'll be nice and hot.
Yes.
Yeah. But, you know, when you have visitors in your community, it's your responsibility to take good care of them as well. So we certainly would like to see our roads safe enough for our own community use, our children, but also the increasing number of cycling commuters that we have, people who are using bicycles on the island recreationally, but also for our visitors. So, yes, it's talking to new possible infrastructure, because the cycling and walking infrastructure that we have on the island at the moment, I'm pretty sure there would be no argument across the board that we could all agree that our roading network in general, whether you're a car driver or, you know, cycling or walking, they need improvement.
Needs work.
We've outgrown our roads, basically, for our requirements as a community.
Yeah.
So, and one of the things that we always clearly articulate around cycling and walking is because it's very unfortunate that we often fall into this very, it's not just around cycling and walking and other forms of transport. We kind of, you know, take sides and get into this very adversarial situation rather than looking how it can be a win-win for everyone. And better walking and cycling infrastructure, better roads on Waiheke is going to mean a better experience for whatever mode of transport you're choosing to travel on.
Absolutely.
Whether it's a bus or a car or a bike or you're walking.
Down with binary thinking.
That's right.
Up with the holistic approach.
It doesn't
approach.
Serve us well.
No, it doesn't.
We actually, it's a bit unfortunate on Waiheke that, it's not just on Waiheke, but as humans we fall into this, you know, if you get your way, I'm not going to get my way.
Yeah,
so, you know, and one of the arguments often.
We need to evolve beyond that.
Yeah, that's right. It's kind of a little bit of a sad, you know, repeat.
Yes.
So, you know what they say? They say, you know, if you keep doing the same thing and expecting a different outcome, that is
crazy.
The definition of stupidity.
Yeah.
So let's move beyond stupidity and into co-creating as a community, something that we really could all benefit from.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you wanted to add to about that?
There's quite a lot of information there. And I tell you what is really great about having a plan like this is, of course, it's all very well having a plan that you have to execute the plan.
Mm.
Yeah. So we have to see some, we've actually come up with a term for it in Cycle Action Waiheke. It's called Path Ends Suddenly Syndrome, PES.
Right.
So we have this with our footpaths and our cycle lanes, the few that we do have.
What's
we're going along,
again?
La, 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 la,
PES.
La, and PES, yes.
Sorry,
Path Ends Suddenly Syndrome, yes,
right.
PES. This is the PES syndrome. And suddenly, there's no intelligent way to actually work out where you're meant to go to. The pathway ends and it's not a safe place for you to cross the road.
Yeah.
The pathway may proceed on the other side. There might be no options. So one of the things we're really hoping that this plan sees is that we start to get connectivity in the existing infrastructure that we have. I mean, you know, as cycle advocates, best practice around the world is to actually always have separate cycling lanes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because if the cyclists know where they're supposed to be, the cars know where they are, pedestrians, they know where they're going to be as well. I mean, even more ideally, you have separate pedestrians, separate cycleways, and separate roading as well. So with a plan like this moving forward, when people like Auckland Transport, when we have funding to do road improvements on the island, we have a policy about what that's going to look like. Yeah. So if we're going to fix up a road, we're going to make sure that cycling and walking are part of those options.
Yeah.
Because actually, for most of us, we forget it's a relatively small area that we travel around.
Yeah.
Waiheke becomes your world. So, you know, I know I live beyond Onatangi out at Awaawarua.
Yeah, same.
And people, you might as well ask them to, you know, drive to Woodville or somewhere. They're like, oh, no, beyond the Onatangi Hills. So our world becomes, you know, quite, a small world becomes something quite large. But actually, it's very possible to get around this island by foot. and by bicycle. Yeah. And it's a really enjoyable experience.
Yeah, fully. Well, should we talk about the Santa Parade now?
Oh, yes, okay.
Being that it's Christmas.
That's right, and all. And it's a nice segue in because this year I've taken on the job of coordinating what is sort of traditionally been our Santa Parade, our Christmas parade. I think I've been trying to sort of unravel some of the history around it. I think Eileen Evans was the first, possibly, it may even predate Eileen, because, you know, I've only been on the island about 16 years, so that's just as far as my history goes. It was a community event, and for the last couple of years, Auckland Council have taken responsibility for pulling that together.
Yeah.
And then part of the Auckland Council's Empowering Communities program is handing back some of these events.
Right, part of their cost-cutting program.
Right, yes. One could be cynical, and sometimes maybe I feel a little bit cynical, but let's kind of go for the positive spin on it, the Empowering Communities spin, looking for community groups who would pick up the mantle.
Yeah.
So in my capacity as the creative director of Once Upon an Island, the radio station's nearest neighbour,
yes.
We're doing that. And I guess for me, I've ridden in the parade or participated in the parade, you know, for the entire time that I've lived on the island. I always think when we come to these celebrations, it's like, what are these celebrations about? What do they mean to us as a community? And in celebrating them, what are we saying to ourselves and to the rest of the world about who we are as well? And for me, you know, Christmas is a time of celebration. We have a really unusual Christmas here in Aotearoa. Mm. It's a Northern Hemisphere celebration. It has the Christian Christmas story, but it has all the northern winter celebrations associated with the winter solstices and Father Christmas and Yule logs and eating too much overcooked food that would have been much nicer in, you know, June. And then we've got the kind of beachy, ocean, fun, sun, summery kind of vibe to it as well, plus everything else in between.
Yeah.
We have at this time of year, in terms of Māori stories around this particular time of year, you've got Tamanui Te Rā making his journey back to his summer wife. You know, there's all these interesting stories that are intersecting. Mm. But it's a great time. It's usually a time that we come together with our friends and family and community and reflect on the year, think a little bit about who we are and who we might like to be. So that is the focus this year in terms around having a fossil fuel-free fiesta.
Right.
So you might be aware that last Friday, an initiative was launched on the island, the Electric Island.
Right.
Have you heard about this?
Briefly, but maybe some of our listeners haven't.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So, and it was, you know, it was covered by national news as well. So Waiheke have, you know, not everyone on Waiheke, but an interested and inspired group of people have put their hand up and said, let's work towards becoming the first fossil fuel free island in Aotearoa by 2030.
Wow.
Because it's manageable for us to use electric vehicles extensively on the island because of the smallness of the island. Yeah.
What would that mean for the dirt track?
Well, nothing to say that you cannot race electric cars. Yeah. I am no expert on...
We have to put speakers in the back just so it sounds like
that. Do you know, apparently they do that with electric
do
cars
they?
Because...
Yeah, actually, I almost got run over. Yeah, this is not a dig on electric cars. I'm all for the environment. Yeah. But so I almost did get run over the other day because I didn't hear the car come up behind me. I finally, just as it was... I heard the whoosh of the tyres... But I didn't hear the engine.
And as a cyclist who listens or drives with their ears as well as my eyes, you do, you listen. So apparently there are electric cars that have sounds that play just so you can hear them coming as well as see them coming when they're coming up behind you.
The only reason I laugh is because I'm just thinking of the selection of different sounds.
There's different sounds that you could make.
The sound
that's
of a dog barking every time you put
the foot
down.
That's right, you don't have to go for the brum, brum, brum. You could go for the... Or, you know, that would certainly make someone look behind them. But anyway, so you could be kind of creative. But I guess one of the things, because there has been much conversation, I know, in the community around, you know, when you're the person who kind of says, let's do this a little bit differently, you're going to end up having some fairly intense conversations with people who like to do things the way that they have always been done. And, you know, as somebody who tells traditional stories, I have great respect for tradition. I also have great respect for innovation and reflection. And this particular creative challenge this year with the parade is not anti-car. I'm a car owner. You saw me arrive today because I'm carting loads of things around the island in preparation for various workshops. In a car, fantastic, very useful things. And I'm also a cyclist and a walker, you know, so I cover a few categories. And, you know, the kaupapa of the parade was in no way meant to exclude groups of people. In fact, invitations were written to all the long-standing participants of the parade explaining what we were going to do this year, why we were going to do it, and inviting them to have a conversation about how creatively they might be involved. And some groups took up that invitation and, you know, some people have chosen not to participate this year, and that's fair enough, But, you know, one of the endearing things about this island, one is, you know, this outspoken, diverse community we have. But also, the thing about islands is that they're microcosms of the world. So anything we're experiencing in the greater world, we're going to feel much more quickly on an island. And we already know this as the community who pays the highest rate for petrol in New Zealand.
Yeah,
so if you can't see the writing on the wall now and you want to kind of chain yourself to servitude in terms of, you know, paying out huge amounts of money to have the freedom of movement, sure, just kind of just keep on doing what you've always done. But you can't be blind to the conversations around CO2 emissions, about, you know, what's actually happening in our world in terms of climate change and pollution and, you know, the writing's on the wall. We all need to take a big long look at ourselves and think, what's our future going to look like and how are we going to get to that future? Yeah. So it's not meant to be, you know, it's not, you know, a waggling of the fingers in any ways, because nobody likes to do anything when their fingers waggled at them. It's a Christmas celebration. It's a festive celebration because, you know, Christmas isn't part of everybody's culture. But it's the time for our holidays. It's a time for the summer, time to be together with our friends and family. And
The actual parade itself, when is it? What's the...
Let's get to the details. The long backstory behind everything. And, you know, I'm one of those people who thinks about things a lot.
Don't worry about that. Someone's got to do the thinking. Otherwise, we'll all end up in the binary world.
And we don't want it to be doomy and gloomy. We want it to be a celebration of what we are and can be. So it's 15th. Next Saturday.
Cool.
This time next week.
Sweet. I think we're doing a sausage sizzle, aren't we?
I think the radio station is coming down to the Fiesta, which is post-parade. So it's quite a lineup. The actual parade itself starts at 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
And as per tradition of the trip parade, we will be going down the high street of Onuroa to the Red Cross and then back up the street. And then we'll all be heading off to Artworks. Where there'll be a fiesta for another 4 hours, which there's lots of wonderful entertainment lined up.
What have we got?
We have Levity Beats, who's an amazing children's musician. He's the winner of a number of APRA awards for his music. He happens to be visiting his family at this time of year on the island, so he's going to put in an appearance. We've got Granny Og, our local kind of, you know, they're coming out tonight to the Awaroa Christmas party. The shindigging, dancing kind of, you know, pipe my whistle. Whatever the expression is. That's right, that's right. I know, it's going to be, you know, very exciting. I have to stress, it is family friendly.
It is a family show.
And the Waiheke Youth Band. It's actually Jill, who pulls the markets together on behalf of the Waiheke Community Childcare, is actually pulling together that particular aspect of it. But I know they've got to focus on making. There's going to be some yummy food there to eat, photo opportunities. I know that Father Christmas is turning up.
Is he the real one?
The real Father Christmas. That's right. With real gifts.
Really?
Yeah. God. And all I can say about Santa. these gifts is that they could be the last straw. Free gifts for the children from Father Christmas. The parade itself, gosh, we've got about somewhere, it keeps changing day by day, but somewhere between 20 and 30 entries in the parade this year. We're very lucky because we've got the Waitakere brass band.
Love a brass band.
Yeah, so I don't know if we've ever had a brass band, not in the times I've been on the parade.
That's really... Yeah, where I come from, that's a Christmas staple, the brass band.
Well, they're over here doing a fundraiser for our hospice on this Saturday evening, and they've very kindly volunteered their talents for the parade. So they'll be leading it off. And this year, well, people might not be aware, but the parade is made possible through local board funding.
Yeah.
So this is an event that they support. But we applied for funding through Creative Communities as well, which is the community branch of Creative New Zealand. And we've been doing a series of community workshops with groups who might not otherwise have been involved with the parade in the past. Because it's great. You've got the people who, you know, put their hands up every year to be in the parade, and that's fantastic, because if you don't have people putting up your hands, then, you know, a parade is a reflection of the effort a community is willing to put into something. But the purpose of the workshops is to engage groups who might not otherwise be involved. And so one of the really lovely groups this year was an invitation put out to parents of children who were born in the last year.
Right.
Because they are our future, literally. And they're our Y babies, and they've been working on an ocean-themed float with artists using recycled cardboard. Because part of the kaupapa of the parade this year is to put a bigger emphasis on performance, less on product. Anything that we use in kind of creating our floats for it to be upcycled, recycled, you know, a thoughtful creation, so we just don't end up with more rubbish. Not sure if I've been down to the transfer station lately and looked at that huge...
I've seen it. I've smelt it. It stinks.
I know. So there's all sorts of interesting things happening.
Fabulous. What time does it get going then on
Saturday
night?
Well, if you want to watch the parade, you need to. It's going to be kicking off at 3 o'clock on the dot.
3 o'clock, cool.
Yeah, 3 o'clock Waiheke time, I should say.
Not 3,
3:30. 3 o'clock on the dot Waiheke time. So
4 o'clock.
Leave your time, time to come up here. That's right.
Right.
To, you know, of course, if you live in the area, you can walk and cycle. And that will save you the hassle of trying to park your car.
Well, you can carpool if you're coming from
the
other side of the island.
You could skate, scooter.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, maybe a sleigh ride.
Well, it's been a pleasure having you up, Tanya. And a good luck with the parade next week. We'll surely be there with the kids.
Yes.
And lovely to see you.
Thanks so much, John.
All right, good luck with everything.